The title of the preach, if you are taking notes, it's called Staying Strong in Christ. Staying Strong in Christ. So, yeah, I just really felt that just coming to this time as a congregation, that many of us might be feeling weak in ourselves, in our own flesh. I mean, it is the middle of winter, but yeah, I think some of us have taken a beating, a hammering in different areas. And, you know, our flesh can feel tired, and we don't feel strong in ourselves, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. And just what we were saying, that the word that came through, you know, abiding in Christ and finding his presence and not losing our first love, those are some of the keys, key things to actually unlock that refreshing in Jesus and that strength in him, because it all comes from Jesus, right? Not from us. So when we get to the end of ourselves, we get to the start of Jesus, which is incredible. When we start unlocking the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to actually do infinitely more than what we could do in our own strength. So, yeah, super exciting. So if you think you can complete this race as a Christian, relying on your own flesh by just ticking all the boxes and fulfilling the law, then I'm sad to say, but you're completely wrong. and there is... Yeah, Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. Obviously, he's came to fulfill every single thing that we needed to do to make ourselves right. But the biggest lie, I think, that the enemy sells to us is that we actually... I mean, I've had lots of conversations with unsaved people that haven't known Jesus, and they 99% of them say that they want to make their life right before they can come to God, before they can be born again. And I think it's a lie that actually sticks with us. It's something the enemy throws at us, even once we've given our hearts to him, once we've been born again. Is this thing of actually, are you living up to enough? You know, it's this doubt going like, actually, are you doing enough? Does Jesus love me because of the sin or the mistakes I've made? But the truth is, we were never saved by doing anything. All we had to do was believe and have faith. It's through faith by grace that we are actually saved. And that's our secret weapon that brings about change in our life, and that is the grace of God. And that's a little bit I want to talk around. One of the keys is to actually remaining strong in Christ, is actually keeping hold of that secret weapon, the grace of God. So we're going to look at the story of Moses and his life as an example of a weak man who was strong in Christ. I think many of us look at Moses and go like, no, he was a superhero. You know, he was like the founder, one of the founding patriarchs of our lives. But the truth is, he was scared a lot of the time. He was not sure of himself. He ran away into the desert for 40 years. I mean, he had his ups and downs, and he had a stutter. He called on a spokesman called Aaron. I'm actually reading a book about Aaron and a little bit of perspective of his life. It's by Francine Rivers, just a freebie. She's a great author, and it's just a little bit. It's a paraphrase. It kind of explains the story between the lines of Scripture and how it was, how his life was. But it's a great insight into this mighty man of God. And he was mighty because he followed God and he stayed close to God. He didn't do anything if God didn't tell him to do it. So let's have a look at Hebrews 11, verse 23 to 29. And I should probably start stopwatch. Eh? All right, so if you've got your Bibles or you can look up there, we're going to go back to the scripture a little bit. So by faith, Moses' parents hid him from... for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Amazing, eh? His parents were not afraid. What great parents. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. God. Hey, what a legend in the faith, eh? Just not keeping his eyes on the situation, keeping his eyes always fixed on the king. And Yeah, that's the first, that leads me to the first point, which is, I don't know how to say this in a non-Christian way, so I'm always trying to learn from Andrew, teach us how to preach well, is to use non-Christianese. But if anybody can help me a way of translating this, it says Moses, I said Moses sowed to the Spirit. Okay, so he invested in spiritual things. He sowed into, not into his flesh, into himself and his own strength, but he sowed into the Spirit, into, he invested in what was been, what had been regenerated in him, what was not himself, the power of himself, but the power of God living in him. Okay. So verse 24, you can put that up there again, or I can just read it, Hebrews 11, verse 24. The first thing is that by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So the important thing there was that Moses knew who he belonged to. He had been thrown onto a river, chucked out into a little basket. Most of us know this story. As a lighty, I think he was 3 months old. Aaron was crying as his older brother, imagine that, it must have been traumatic, seeing your young little baby brother just drifting down the Nile River, going to who knows where. But the incredible thing about that was that he didn't forget that he was a Hebrew. He grew up in Moses' household, in Pharaoh's household, and he was an Egyptian. By all accounts, he dressed as an Egyptian. But he knew who he was. He knew he belonged to God. And he identified himself. He chose to identify himself with the Israelites, despite the fact that he would face dire consequences. He knew that if he rejected his family, he would be thrown out of that household. He would lose his privileges. He'd lose all his wealth. I mean, you can imagine living in Pharaoh's palace. I mean, money wasn't a problem. He had the status. You know, they were ruling, the ruling party. It's like, okay, the ANC is not ruling anymore. But I mean, it's like growing up in the ANC and saying, like, I'm gonna disown you guys. You know, I'm gonna go and represent the ACDP or something. I don't want to get political on us, but it's kind of like a little bit like that. It's somebody, a man of influence, but he knew that his influence was going to be much greater if he followed God. And he wasn't looking at the natural. He wasn't looking at the natural sphere in which he was operating. So verse 25, he chose to be mistreated as of much higher eternal value than the temporary pleasures of sin. And isn't that tempting for us as well? Like for us to put us into the story. I think it's easy to read Bible stories and go like, oh, that's a cute story from back in the day. And, it's just a story. But actually, we face the same challenges. We're actually privileged. A lot of us here are living in incredible privilege and actually are very wealthy in the physical, natural realm. But, what if God chose something different for us? Are we going to go with that, which might lead to dire consequences? It might lead to poverty. It might lead to, God spoke to us once about actually planting a congregation into Dunoon. We were actually leading this is not in my notes, but we were actually leading a community in Dunoon back in a long time ago, before there was even a congregation there. And God actually challenged us and said, if you want to effectively reach this area, you actually need to relocate and go and live in a township. And I mean, that's like radical. That's very countercultural as a person of my complexion in South Africa. Like to go live in Dunoon is, it's going to be tough. But that heart, we never did it. But actually, I think in a way that kind of led into something, we sowed into that area. And eventually there became a congregation. And in fact, we had two people from Joshua and White people, a lady, Christine Williams, actually chose voluntarily to relocate and go and live in Dunoon. It was incredible. And there was just so much fruit from that. I mean, people thought she was crazy. I mean, her parents were, like, they were trying to stop her doing it. They thought she had lost her mind. But she had heard God, and she paid that price. And she's still alive. She's still with us today. And she sowed herself into that congregation, what God wanted to do. So who knows what God's actually calling you to do as you actually hear his voice and do things that seem crazy to the world. I mean, obviously work that through with your elders. Don't just go and start something up in Vryheid or wherever it might be. Who knows? But I'm not saying that might be God. Maybe God wants you to do that. But let's hear him together. All right, so I'm going to link that with Galatians 6, verse 7 to 10. You can put that up on the board as well. That feeds into this thing of choosing, actually choosing where we're sowing to. Galatians 6:7-10 says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." So we have a choice every day when we wake up, and it's especially hard in winter. And I know I faced this morning because my alarm went off at 5:30. I was on my weekend off. I wasn't supposed to be preaching this weekend. I found out obviously on Thursday night on Friday morning, because I phoned Jeff and I said, "Uncle Jeff, what do I do? You're the big boss here." This is Jeff Kidwell. He kind of oversees on the directing elders team. I said, "What's your advice?" He said, "No." He said, "You need to preach." He said, "You need to actually settle the people. You need to rise up and actually go for it." So I was like, yes. Thank you, Lord, for that endorsement. This morning, my flesh felt very weak. And I was like, yo, 5:30. I thought I'm going to hit the snooze button. Shunts at 6:15 said, "Hey, aren't you supposed to be preparing a preach?" I was sowing into my flesh for those 45 minutes and just getting extra sleep. But the scary thing is that, you know, we can do that more than once, and it can become a habit quite quickly, and we can actually start skipping out when you've got work to do, and suddenly we've only got 5 minutes or we've got 0 minutes to spend with God. Suddenly we don't have that opportunity to sow into the Spirit, to actually find God in the morning, to spend that special time with Him. So we've got a choice. It's not sin necessarily, but the Bible also says that sin gives birth to sin, which gives birth to death. So if we're continuously resisting God, eventually that does harden our hearts because we lose connection with our Lord. And that can then lead to death, which is scary. And ultimately, we can even lose our salvation if we're actually continually not finding God and deciding to harden our hearts to Him. So I really want to encourage you guys, like as Estian was saying, let's keep, and that word that came through, remember the height from which you've fallen. And don't lose your first love. You might be doing all the right things, but you can't sustain that unless you're plugging in, finding Jesus, finding the Spirit, and sowing into His Spirit, into the Spirit man, not into your flesh. Eh? It's easy to sow into our flesh. I mean, that's like paddy sticks. But sowing to the Spirit, man, it requires an effort, and it requires accountability and walking this thing out with one another, saying, "How are you doing? How's your quiet time doing?" Wayne's good at doing that, so. Reminding other people, how are you doing? Are you praying? Are you finding God? Okay, so find the Waynes in your life. Find other people that can walk this journey with you. All right, I hope you're doing that. Are you being discipled? Eh? I think it's an area that we can definitely grow in as a congregation. So if you're not being discipled, watch out. We're going to be discipling you soon. It's going to start with the leaders. We're going to start discipling each other more and more, but we really want to build that as a culture. And it is going to start with us. We got to set the example. I've got to ask Dylan to speak into my life. He's got to ask me. We've got to do it. We've got to model it. So we are going to be modeling that more and more. And we are doing it. But it's not just going to be for us. It's something that we all can do together. Don't you want to do that? Don't you want to grow in God and be discipled? Hey? Learn how to sow into your spiritual inheritance. Hey, I mean, you train hard for things like the Argus to get a gold medal. But I mean, it says godliness. Physical training is of some value, but training in godliness, man, that's what counts. That's what we're going to take to the end. Not how well we trained ourselves in business, in sport, and all these things for people to see. But no, man, we want to be ready for Jesus. Okay, so the second thing is, Moses worked on his weaknesses. All right, are you ready to work on your weaknesses? Do you know that you have a weak area? Okay, if you're being discipled, you'll know that. Your friends are going to point out and say, "Hey, man, there's a blind spot." You know, we all got blind spots. In a car, you know you got a blind spot? If you don't check out that blind spot, you're going to have an accident if you're changing lanes at 120 on the N1. And it's the same with your own life. If you don't check those blind spots out, you could come short, and the consequences are serious. All right, so Moses says, we are like Moses, all of us. We might think, you know, we're talking about Moses tonight. He was a legend in the faith. But actually, God's called us all to be legends in the faith. Do you know that? In different ways. You might not be Moses, But it depends on the choices we make in our circumstances. He had a weakness, man. He had that stutter I was talking about. And he pulled Aaron in. He realized, you know, I've got a problem. I can't speak properly in front of people. He had to talk in front of millions of Israelites. And he wasn't too proudful to say, hey, you know what, Aaron, you're my brother. You come and speak for me. And what is that weakness in your life where you're going like, hey, man, I'm struggling in this area. Maybe there's someone in the congregation that can help you and say, look, let's work on that weakness together. Hey, are you open to that? Are you open to hear that, even that you might not be perfect? I mean, sorry to burst your bubble. Yeah, I mean, I'm not perfect. And here I am standing up. But I'm working on my weakness. I mean, preaching is probably not my strong point. Evangelism probably is. But that's something that I need to grow in. That's why it's nerve-wracking for me, if I'm honest, to stand up here. But I'm working on that weakness. I'm getting input. Dylan's helping me. Guys, they're going to give me feedback. And they say, no, you spoke too long. You spoke too short. You waffled here. I'll hear from Wayne. Okay. Spurgeon had a sermon, and it's called the Best Strengthening Medicine. I'm going to quote, Dylan will be proud of me. I'm quoting from Spurgeon. Many of us may never have to brave the fiery stake, nor to bow our necks upon the block, to die as Paul did. But if we have grace enough to be out of weakness made strong, we shall not be left out of the role of the nobles of faith, and God's name shall not fail to be glorified in our persons. Okay? Oh, that's so encouraging, man, that we might not go down in history as the Pauls. But actually, if we rely on the grace of God, who knows what God could do out of the weakest person in this house. So, yeah, man, like the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11:34, whose weakness was turned to strength, are we ready for that? We can actually turn, our weakness can be turned by God into strength. Can we choose to access the grace we need by faith to help us overcome our weaknesses? And the reality is we might not be in physical wars like Moses was, but we're in spiritual wars today. And we need to ask God for the insight to see that we're actually in a battle for our souls. And we need his grace. We need his power to see the situation that we're in. And I'm going to talk a little bit about an example of my own life, just to illustrate this point of being in a battle. I'm going to tell you a little quick story. Sorry, I'm just going to get... Okay. So the last 6 months, you guys might not have seen it on the outside, but but it's probably been one of the last, yeah, I'd say probably one of the toughest times in my life, if I'm honest. I'd say outside of COVID, I'd say COVID was I don't think anything can top COVID in terms of toughness for me personally. Like I'm sure some people it was great, but for us it was really tough. But I'd say this ranks, it's pretty close to that time of COVID. So in the natural realm, we've actually been in a process of evicting. We've got a rental property in Pinelands. We're in the process of evicting some tenants that have unfortunately not played ball and done things the way that we would have liked them to do. We've tried to play ball, do it really honorably, and we've tried to speak nicely to them. And obviously, I would never advise anybody to go to court or employ a lawyer. It's like my dad said, like, rich men and fools go to court. So I think that comes out of the Bible, probably. I think it's a proverb somewhere. But I would highly encourage you not to go to court. But unfortunately, we had no other option. We tried all the other ways to actually talk sense into these people and have reasonable conversations. But eventually, they gave us no option but to go to court and actually go through the eviction process. So. And I'll tell you, it's been tough. I mean, you can chat to Wayne. I'll probably talk to him the most. And Dylan's not here. He's also heard a lot of the stories. But I mean, they've been incredible. The Turners have been praying faithfully for us literally every day. And the reality is it's a physical situation that we're in. Okay, it's something that we're facing. But actually, it's been a spiritual fight. We've actually been in this because it's something that the enemy is, not to over-spiritualize it, but the enemy has allowed into our lives. Firstly, God's allowed him to actually make us more like Jesus by sifting us and testing us. So ultimately, God is in charge, right? He's, even over bad situations, we know that he's going to have the final say. But the enemy, there's also a sense of the enemy's not happy with us. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. That is number one goal in life, and he's been trying hard to do that. And I think that for us in this situation, there has been a real temptation to actually fight this in the spiritual realm, not in the spiritual realm, but in the physical realm with our flesh. And we've got lots of advice. We've told people, they're like, oh yeah, man, just go in there, go and live in the room, you know, like go and just move in and just go stay there, and then they're going to hate it and they're going to just leave, or just go and change the locks or do this and do that. But they've all been, sorry to say, they've been fleshly responses. They've been responses, what can I do in my power to actually get these people out? But the whole time we felt God saying, just follow the lawyer's advice and just keep, do what you can do. But I'll tell you, it's very hard when it's like 4 or 5 months down the line and you're still not getting paid rent and things are just going from bad to worse. And each week it's just like another turn and it's just going longer and longer and longer. But I really found that in this situation that I had to rely on the grace of God and stay in that space of grace, going like, God, I can only do X amount. Like Wayne said to me, there's a circle of influence. Like I can only do that amount, and actually the rest is up to God. Like I must do what I must do, but God needs to do the rest. And I need to actually rely on him and trust him in this time. So it's been really, really tough. But I tell you, God has come through and answered prayers time and time again. I mean, they've done, like, not to go into all the detail of it, but, you know, where we thought it was actually, we were checkmated and we had lost and things were going bad, it actually turned out in our favor, and actually we've speeded up the process. So we're actually at the point now, which is, one day we're going to give you that victory story, but we're actually at the point now where they should be evicted, hopefully in the space of this month. So from Monday, we've paid the sheriff, and they're actually in the process now where they actually haven't kept to their word, and we're actually going to see the tail end of the family leaving our property, which is hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for that. So he's really been in it. So I just want to say that, man, it's really, it is tempting to do things in our own strength and in our own flesh, but really we're weak and we need to rely on God. And God is more than able. When you do it his way, he speeds things up and does things that are way faster and way better than what we could ever try and imagine to do in our own strength. So as soon as we did in our own strength, I promise you, I felt stress. I felt it was horrible. Like I lost my peace. It was bad. The week before last, I had a terrible week. I wasn't spending time with God because I was trying to fight this thing in my own strength. But guys, I'm telling you, you can't fight things in your own strength. It doesn't work. We have to do things God's way. He's infinitely more capable than us. So yay. So I just want to encourage you with that story. All right. So the last thing I'm going to talk on, the last point, and then we're going to land the bird. or land the plane, whatever you want to call it, is that so Moses lived for eternal rewards, eh? He lived for eternal rewards. He didn't care about this earth, what was going to happen. He chose disgrace for the sake of Jesus as of infinitely higher value than money. And money is a big motivator, hey guys. Hebrews 11:26 says here, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. So that's the key there. Where did Moses fix his eyes? He saw in the invisible. He saw with his eyes of faith. He didn't look with his natural eyes. Like Renee always says, she taught her kids to look with the eyes of faith at situations. And I love that, because that is how we need to be living our lives, is not looking at the natural, but fixing our eyes on Jesus and what's to come. Not looking at the here and now. Don't worry about what's happening this week, this month, next year. What's happening in 10 years' time? What happens when I die? How's this going to affect my eternal consequence? You know, how's this going to affect my inheritance one day? Because we all got choices to make. Okay? We've got choices every day. Do we choose to live for God? Is this going to bring me closer to Jesus and bring me in line with my inheritance, or is it going to lead me away from my inheritance and lead me away from what God's got for me? Every day we face choices, and those are critical choices, eh? I mean, I'm not talking about what color shoes you should put on today. I'm talking about important choices that are going to affect where we're going to go. Okay, so Hebrews 11, verse 13 to 16. We can throw that up on the board. So it says that all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have an opportunity to return. Instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Okay? How awesome is that? So the Israelites could have turned back to Egypt. They could have gone like, man, the money there, the food we're eating, much better than boring manna and quails and all these things. But and they must have thought that, when Moses led them through the desert and they were following, they must have thought, where are you leading us, Moses? We're wandering around the desert, and the Egyptians, we can see them, we can see the dust from their hooves, we can see the most powerful army in the world coming to come and destroy us. But they chose to believe Moses. They've backed him and said, Moses, you take us where we want to go. And that the place where he stopped and waited on God was the place exactly where everything lined up, and that those waters parted, the Red Sea opened. And I mean, it's a fact, guys. It's an archaeological fact that when the wind blows from a specific direction, that sea does actually open up, and it can actually get to a point where you can actually pass through. You can pass through on dry ground. And it's incredible. They had faith. They went through, and once they'd finished, the wind dropped, and that whole army was destroyed. That Egyptian army following on their heels was destroyed. So, yeah, we've got a choice, man. When Dylan's leading us, when he's saying, guys, this is where we're going. Are we going to be those people that are saying, I'm with you. I'm yes and amen. Dylan, you take us. We're there. We're going to go there. We're going to go where you're going to go. Because that is where we experience the favor of God and the miracles of God. Even though it might be myth for our flesh, we might be going like, hey, Dylan, can't you see the Egyptian army is like about to destroy us? What about the food that we're eating? You know, it's easy to complain, but let's be those that are actually going, your victory is our victory. We're going to lift up your arms, Dylan. We're going to lift them up like we did with Moses. So let's not lose sight of the bigger picture and where God is taking us. C.S. Lewis says, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. Okay? How awesome is that? That we actually made for another world. And I think lately, if I'm honest with you guys, like I've been in a place where I've been quite down, not down, but I mean, the situation I've been facing has not been fun. But I think I've just got involved in work and my eyes have been, it's been good to be busy. I've had to make money because I've not had a rental income. But you can get caught up in the here and now. And the challenges to you guys is like, let's lift our eyes. We had an incredible time. So I'm mentioning the Turners all the time, but they're on fire, guys, at the moment. I'm just saying, like, if you want to catch some fire, just hang around with those guys. That's great. He hasn't been there for a long time. It's only recent, but he's pumped. So, and we want to keep him there. We want to keep riding that wave with him. So, you guys all witnessed to that. We had a combined community on Wednesday, and it was amazing. Like, I went there, I promise you, I was feeling pretty flat. I was like, yes, I don't know, it's like combined com. Wayne's faith was about zero. I think he thought maybe one person was going to come to the new community. By the way, they are taking over the Wilkinson, the Deep South community. We will be announcing that more officially, but we are going to be praying for them. We're super keen to pray for them. But there was just something of God. Like, people just came out of the woodwork. All the Deep South people came. Most of our community came. It was a full house. I don't know. But God was drawing people. And then I got up and I was like, yes, man. I just felt we need to speak into this. There's vision here. There's something, like, my eyes needed to be raised. I was like, God, what are you doing here? Like, Dylan's spoken about reaching out to the new congregation. He's felt to go into that area in the Deep South. And I was like, maybe this is the time. This is the time where God's actually pulling people together and saying, don't forget what I've spoken over that area. Let's raise the vision again. Let's not just meet on a Wednesday. God's doing something much bigger here. Maybe he's calling you guys to, maybe the people that are new here might be the new leaders. They might be the elders. Who knows? We don't know the people that are here in this group, what they're going to do for God. Eh? He can work with your weaknesses. He can make you strong if we will find him. And we found him, and we found him in worship. It was an incredible time with Tim leading us. So, man, I just want to say to you guys, like, we don't know. If we catch a hold of eternity and what God's called us to as individuals and as in communities and as a church, man, it's exciting. I mean, we've been part of church plants. And we were on a church plant right here. This is a church plant, if you didn't know. We planted out of these guys. But it's not going to stop here. God wants to, he wants to plant more churches. He wants us to take the kingdom to the world. So So guys, yeah, we're gonna land it. We're gonna land it there. So I want to encourage you, man. Let's be those Moseses. Can we be like that, like him? He sowed to his spirit. The first thing, he sowed to his spirit. Okay, he didn't sow to his flesh. When you wake up on Monday morning, what are we gonna do? Are we gonna hit that snooze button? Or are we gonna get our spouse to throw a bucket of water over our head and wake us up? They did that to my son. Apparently, at Root, they said they could throw a bucket of water over his head to wake him up. He also struggles with getting up in the morning. Maybe it's an ADD thing. ADD is a superpower, by the way. Don't laugh at us. Okay, so Moses sowed to his spirit. Eh? He didn't sow to his flesh. And then he worked on his weaknesses. Are you guys ready to work on your weaknesses? Eh? Ready for that? God's going to show you that with people lovingly pointing those things out. Wayne's really good at that as well. Eh? Yes, Wayne, I'm giving you so much airtime. Yeah. I want to learn from him. He's very black and white. It's good to be. I think we've been too nice, too guys. Eh? Wait for us. We're going to have some nice salt and pepper, black and white times. We're going to have some lacquer times with you guys, speaking straight. Eh? But the beautiful thing about it is because, you know, we love you. We spend lots of time loving you. We spent about 3 or 4 years. How long have you been planting this church? But now it's time to start like stoking that fire. We're going to put that fire into you guys. Okay. I'm going to chat to the deacon soon. We're going to get some fire coming soon. In about a month's time. Very fiery people coming. So and then the third thing is we're living for eternal rewards. Eh? Are you ready for those rewards? Is that where your eyes are focused on Jesus and what he's got for us? Eh? Amazing. So I'm gonna share one last small thing, and then we're gonna land this thing. Are you guys? How are you doing? You cool? Okay, awesome. I'll call on Estian to help me land just now. But you can praise along. Okay. In conclusion, I just wanted to touch a bit on Dylan as well. And I think just for us as a congregation, like you guys might be asking, you might have asked yourself. I mean, I asked myself that question on Thursday night. You know, was that? That could have been Dylan's last night here. And I know I did. I was like, where have I? It's quite sobering when the guy that's leading our church, I mean, it was touch and go. I mean, he pulled through, but it could have gone either way. And I just want to encourage us, like, where have we placed our securities? Have we placed our securities in Dylan and Heike as your, they're your shepherds, your pastors? I mean, a pastor, it's an important role, like, and I don't want to undermine that. And it is important to have a pastor. But is he in the place, is he the shepherd of your soul, or is Jesus the ultimate shepherd? He's the high shepherd. So if we lose Dylan, or if we lose myself, or if we lose Estian, are you guys ready? Are you in that place where you can allow Jesus to be the shepherd of the soul, to be the one that's going to be leading you? Like, who knows? We might go underground. We might not be able to meet you. But it's good to have crises like this where we go like, God, like who is my redeemer here? So I'm just going to read this beautiful, and I just want to encourage you guys with this, and we'll go into response after this in Isaiah 41. Maybe you guys want to close your eyes, and I just want to just read this over us. Isaiah 41, 13 says, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, you worm Jacob. Little Israel, do not fear, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. See, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp, with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them, and reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them, the wind will pick them up, and a gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel." Yeah, thank you, Lord. Yeah, God, so we do pray, God, just for even for this congregation in this time, Lord, these our brothers and sisters, we're all together in this, God, that we thank you that you are the one, God, it's all about you. You're the one that gives us the strength. You're the one that helps us, God. We might feel like worms in our life, Lord. We might feel like so, so small and insignificant, but God, we don't need to fear, Lord, because we know that you are a redeemer. You are a high shepherd, God, and we are not, you are holding our hands in this time. God, you're stabilizing us. You're the one that's growing us in this time, that we're growing in you, Jesus, that we're drawing close. And Lord, we don't want to lose sight of that first love. God, we want to come back to you. God, we want to come back and make a choice today to say, Lord, you be my strength, God. I might have thought I was strong, but Lord, the truth is I'm weak, Lord, without you, God. And you come and strengthen me today. In Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, God. Yeah, thank you, Lord. So yeah, I just want to encourage you guys, like, throw yourself upon the infinite capacity of God, man. He is, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. So guys, you know what? That's the thing, man. Like, I promise you, in myself, I'm weak. If you knew my past, like, I was a complete tsotsi. I was smoked marijuana at times. I was an airhead, man. I was not the guy that's standing here today. But I've learned to actually press into God, to find my strength in Him, and to find stability in Him. And actually, guys, you know what? That's the same for you. You might feel like the same as what I used to be. You might think, you know what? I'm actually I'm a nobody person. I don't have everything together. And that's cool. God is cool with that. He's not overwhelmed by your rubbish. And He wants to turn that rubbish and that mess into something that really counts for Him.